More than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. There's extensive Alzheimer's-related research going on in Arizona, and a number of advances have been made, including in the realm of diet and nutrition. A new study from the ASU Banner Neurodegenerative Disease Research Center is showing potential for an experimental medicine that can help hold off the impact of nerve degeneration, and that could assist when it comes to Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease. With me to talk about this development is the study's lead author, Diego Mastroeni. He's a scientist at the ASU Banner Research Center. So, Diego, what conclusion in this study stands out to you the most?
Alzheimer's disease starts early in our life. And I'm talking 30s and 40 years old. So right now I may not feel them, but I have symptoms of Alzheimer's disease going on in the brain right now.
Okay.
And especially because I have a first-degree relative. My grandfather had Alzheimer's disease. So I know that I'm at risk, inherently at risk, for developing these types of diseases later in life. Mm-hmm. There are things that we can do in our 30s and 40s, but the problem is no one seeks help or no one wants anything done until you're ill. The problem with Alzheimer's disease is the moment you have any kind of clinical features, sorry, there's nothing we can do. You could maybe live, you know, 8, 9, 10 years. I think the best approach, and I think you had said this earlier, is just, you know, be proactive in taking care of yourself. And we are living longer, and I think it's really important to have a healthy lifestyle. And if it means taking CoQ10 or whatever, it seems like a really small thing to do to have a healthy lifestyle. And it may not be. Maybe CoQ10 doesn't work for you, but it seems to be in our hands. Protecting the mitochondria is probably the best thing that we can do, not only for Alzheimer's disease, but for just healthy aging. This is something that happens as we just get old.
Diego, how have antioxidants played a role in this?
So, yeah, it's been at the forefront of research for a long time, but the problem is that there's so much antioxidant oxidation processes going on in the brain and also in the peripheral system. So do we have enough, or can we take enough, you know, vitamins to kind of cope with these kinds of things? And this is kind of a question that's still on the rise and we don't really know too much about.
How big a consumer is the brain of any energy that we put into our bodies?
As far as like vitamins and things like this, CoQ10, for example, mm-hmm. So the problem with these things is that they're fat-soluble vitamins, compounds, and they're really not very bioavailable. So, for example, if I was to take a over-the-counter CoQ10, mm-hmm. you'd probably get maybe 1% of what they say that you could take in. So if you're going to take in, you know, 200 milligrams, you know, you might be taking it 2 milligrams. That's actually bioavailable. That's actually available for your body to break down and use. So by the time it gets to your gut, it's broken down so far that it's basically no longer your body can't utilize it, and then never mind it even trying to go to the blood-brain barrier, right? Because that's a whole nother feat. So now you're trying to go through your peripheral system, and then has to go through up to your brain, which is one of the biggest problems that we have. So we're not seeing any results in the brain. So in the brain being the biggest energy beast of our body, requires as much energy, probably the best place for it, but it just can't get up there and be utilized there. It gets broken down in the liver too quickly.
Well, so what have you discovered when it comes to making accessing this more?
The folks that I work with at Biodesign, Dr. Sidney Hecht and Omar Kador, both organic chemists, and they have developed a coenzyme Q10 analog. So it still has the same properties of coenzyme Q10. It's just an analog of it. And what they did is they made it so the compound is more water soluble and less fat soluble. So being more water soluble, you know, like water soluble vitamins like B, you know, that you use them. If you don't need them, you get rid of them. They developed that kind of technology, and then they're also developing a coenzyme Q10 analog with a liposome, which is kind of a carrier for the compound, which, if you are to take a coenzyme Q10, if you want to fork out the $50-$60 for the bottle of CoQ10, I recommend taking it with the ones that have the liposomes, because these are actually carrier molecules that actually will transport the compound to the cells that need it, mm-hmm. versus being broken down into the going through your intestines, being broken down immediately.
People talk about genetics when it comes to Alzheimer's, maybe even Parkinson's as well.
I'm not sure.
Is there something that is present in our bodies, in our brains, and something like an advanced CoQ10, a water-soluble thing you're talking about, is that something that can act as sort of preventive maintenance in some ways? Or is it even something that can stave it off, potentially, depending on how the rest of your genetic makeup is?
I mean, we all have certain risk factors for you know, that contribute to disease pathogenesis, whether it be ApoE4, or we have how many copies of this gene you have, or it could be different all kinds of risk factors, environmental risk factors, life events, stress, all these things. It's a multifactorial disease, right? There's a lot of things that contribute to it. I think what these CoQ10 analogs can do for you is they can make you age healthy. You can have a healthy aging. And I think one of the most salient risk factors for developing Alzheimer's disease or any of these neurodegenerative diseases really is aging. So healthy aging is really key. So if we find that the earliest changes of Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, what have you, are in our 30s and 40s, which has turned out to be the case now, if we start taking vitamin supplementation like CoQ10 or other vitamin supplementation, whether it may be A, E, or whatever, it's a very small thing for us to do, reduces risks quite significantly. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing in our studies, at least in vitro.
It sounds like, based on what you're saying, it's going to be beneficial regardless, but for some people, probably more beneficial. At what point do we need to make advances in that to know how effective the analog CoQ10 can be?
This is a really good question. You know, CoQ10 may be good for me more so than it may be for you. Mm-hmm. I think what it really comes down to is really understanding the penetrance of the genes that you have. So are they really going to affect you to get the disease? Are they make you more at risk? Are they associated with metabolic changes more so than they're associated with maybe amyloid precursor processing or tau phosphorylation or something else? You know, I think that there is going to be the case where it may be more beneficial for me than it is for you, or vice versa.
Diego Mastroeni is a scientist at the ASU Banner Neurodegenerative Disease Research Center.